All right, here we are, Scott. Let's do the intro.
Welcome to the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room. Please visit our website, https://rabr.kailejohansen.us. There you can find links to send us feedback, connect to us on social media, or instructions on how to load the podcast onto your device. I'm Kyle John Johansson. This is Andrew Scott Sutton and Rick Ross Bosley. It's time to talk Star Wars.
Star Wars. Rick's on a fishing trip somewhere in both Canada and Canada. We're not sure. Anyway.
Boundary waters.
Somewhere. We're talking today about Star Wars Acolyte Season 1, Episode 6, called Teach/Corrupt. We're going to go through it. We're going to do an unboxing. We're going to, give some opinions. Scott's going to argue with me a little bit. Stuff like that. And then we'll, beg for feedback, which we're going to do first. So we need you to send us your feedback at feedback@kylejohansson.us. Or you can go to our website, which if you're on the there's a link over there on the left side that says feedback. You can fill out a form. We're on social media on X/Twitter, @super_duper_pod, Blue Sky, @Rebel Alliance Briefing Room, all one word. And of course, we're on all kinds of video platforms.
You can YouTube, Rumble, Twitch.
I don't know about Twitch. Rumble, YouTube, we're on Spotify, Deezer, we're on
Indian one.
We're on we're actually supposed to be on XM Radio, and a couple other places, Pandora. You can make comments on all those. We probably prefer them on YouTube because they're easier and whatever. So thanks for that. Yep, so next is, we're going to do this episode, but we're going to unbox Star Wars Funko Pop first.
There's four.
Let me turn the camera a little bit. We'll look at some
original.
Guys. There's our box. Our camera won't go down any further. There it goes. Yeah, put it over there. Well, right there. Right there. Yeah. So I'm going to cut Scott's hand off with his sharp knife. Here we go. The blood. We should do that one time.
Squirt, squirt, squirt.
Halloween blood.
Yeah.
All right. There's the top. Scott's going to take it out. Uh-oh. It's looks like a stormtrooper, but maybe not.
It's like a L33, what?
Yeah.
L337, sorry. The top.
It's...
Oh. Okay.
Well, no, it's okay. It's backwards. It's not close enough. Anyway, so there's the front L337. We'll find out. It's number 245. Look, here's the side, L33-245. See the little green and stuff? This is one of the droids we have. This is actually from the Solo movie. We're live. From the Solo movie. These are all the other ones. You got Chewbacca and young Han Solo. But this is the droid that they integrate into the Millennium Falcon. Because it frees all the slave, the other droid slaves.
Okay.
The female.
Oh yeah, on that planet.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Where they were mining spice.
Around. Yeah.
So there's 245. Can you see it now, Scott?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And all those little ones that were in there that pop, they would pop down and pop up.
Exactly.
Like pop tops.
Exactly. Yes.
Now we have a special treat. It's unboxings.
And yeah, I'm gonna put the knife away. Dangerous.
That's dangerous. Built this back. That's probably why.
All right. So this week's episode was directed by Alex Garcia Lopez. The writer was Leslie Headland. That's the one that everybody says is all woke and stuff. And Jocelyn Biotch.
Biotch?
Biotch. Biotch. Biotch.
Oh, Biotch.
editor was Cheryl Potter.
Biotch.
And the music was scored by Michael Abels, as usual. We had a somewhat smaller cast, a little bit bigger than last week, but we had Master Soul was Lee Jun Jae. We had May and Osha, played by Amanda Steinberg.
August.
They showed Jackie on the ground. She was dead with her eyes open. That was Daphne Keene. We had Q Emir, Manny Jacinto. He's the Sith guy. Then we saw Yord on the ground too. Remember they snapped? He snapped his neck.
Mm-hmm.
What about
Charlie Bartlett? We had the green Jedi Ventresta Ro, played by
sibling, like the Yoda of the whole thing.
Well, of the group at least, Rebecca Henderson, and then that one little Padawan guy that was helping her out.
Yeah,
Mog Anda is supposed to be his name, but his real name is Harry Trayvon Walden. So again, episode was called Teach Us / Corrupt, aired originally on July 2nd, and it was 30 minutes long, 38 minutes long, and it was during 1:32 before the Battle of Yavin, which is the same timeline for all of them except for a couple that were backs, whatever. So you ready to get into it?
BBY.
BBY?
Thanks.
Before the Battle of Yavin?
BBY?
Yeah. So just interrupt whenever. Osha awakes in a makeshift bed inside a cave with a pool. It's got a pool in there.
Yeah, like a pallet bed.
More like a hot tub. It was raised up with like a pallet bed. And I thought it was more of a hot tub than a pool, but whatever. She finds that she is wounded.
What are you drinking?
At the waist. Water.
I got lemonade. Prime.
Prime. Okay. What's the damn camera? She's wounded at the waist, bound with a bandage. I don't know what happened. And there's a pot bubbling on the fire next nearby. And she helps herself to a bottle of water that she finds. She sniffs it and everything, like, you know.
So I got a silly question. You know, all the cooking you see in this thing, even with the Wookiee and all that, and it's all vegetables or plants.
Well, they're healthy.
Don't they eat beef?
Well, no, they got to be healthy to be a Jedi.
Manimals?
You got to be healthy.
Okay.
I don't know. We saw in Obi-Wan Kenobi, he was eating that meat from the big whale or whatever they were petting, speeding it to his little whatever yak or llama or whatever that thing was. I don't know.
I just weren't there at all.
Maybe there's vegan. Maybe there's a shortage of meat in the galaxy.
Okay.
I don't know. It's a good question because you never really see him eat anyway.
I'd rather have
him eat the cereal.
3/4 portion.
There you go. Like Ray.
Yeah.
So she notices a small critter, a skura, which is like a weird looking bird, kind of penguin looking thing.
Like a family. She was outside.
Well, she notices a little one first, and then she sees one outside later.
And they were like they try to hide, like turning their head because they look like rocks anyway.
She retrieves May's dagger and pulls on her clothes. Exits the cave and walks along safety railing overlooking the remote seaside. And out of the distance, she sees another island that's got a ship's parked up there. Osha finds herself on a remote moss-covered island while the stranger has a ship parked on a nearby island. Osha walks around the stony shore. A family of those little bird things that we see on the rocks. They're like hugging each other, and
Mama's over here, the baby and the daddy's, and they're like
being all cute and stuff, right?
I guess their defense thing is to turn their face away.
One of them, yeah. Who knows? They're
what I get from them.
We probably never see those things again. I don't know, but they always have to show some new animal or something.
Wow.
Anyway, so she walks along the shore. And then she sees a stranger walking along the shore too, and she kind of tries to sneak up and behind him while he's walking.
Mm-hmm.
We'll find out here in a little bit. He finds a lagoon or whatever. He's going
to
swim.
Seemed to be special water too.
Could be. Could be who knows? All right, so we go next to Kofar. And Saul is trying to get up to the little ship thing that he's got up there that's got the, you know, light speed stuff on it. And he up in the sky, and he turns on his transmitter, and it's not working very well. It keeps sputtering out. He says that he's got an emergency code 0 and reports that his entire team has been killed. Meanwhile, May walks through the ship where she finds the cabin she and Osha did their Jedi test several years ago. Basil eyes May suspiciously. He does his little sniffing thing. He sticks his nose out there. And Saul records a message for Ventresta Roe on the holoprojector. He explains that his team was ambushed by a much larger threat. May enters the cockpit with a hidden knife, having difficulty sending his transmission. Stoles tells Osha, because that's what he thinks he is, to man the ship while he resets the receiver, the transmitter receiver thing. Sol exits the cockpit, and May takes the starship into space. She climbs into the cabin, and he grieves over a computer where he's trying to reset the transmitter.
When he was making that transmission, she was hanging one hand on the ladder and the other hand with a knife. It's like, oh,
yeah,
she's going to get
him. She's going to get him. She got changed her mind when he thought that she was Osha. Yeah. Or at least he said so. I don't know. I wonder if
when do you think he learned?
I don't know. I think it was after when he was at the computer and she came and talked to him. I think that's when he realized, but that's a little bit later in the episode. So he's grieving and meditating a little bit, and he switches on the computer and exits the cabin. Basil attempts to reactivate Pip, the little droid that May stole. Didn't realize it had a bottom part.
Yeah.
So he's finding a plug to charge it, right? Charging spot. And he notices that there's a symbol on Pip, and he matches it. He attaches it to the workbench. It plugs in, and it starts talking to him. Which, oddly enough, Basil understands the Pip droid. I don't know. And now we're back on the middle of the nowhere planet. Osha follows the stranger to a rocky pool, and he begins to undress. He gets a little naked. Boom, chicka, wow.
He's full naked.
Yeah.
Got that nasty ass scar on his back. Like, it's like two looks like a Y.
Yeah, it's like a Y or something. Yeah, I wonder if that's like a brand or something too. I don't know. Could be some.
Wonder if our fearless Jedi did that to him.
Could be. I don't know. So, he mentions later on that, you know, long, long time ago was when he was a Jedi, and he changed to something else later. But I wonder how long that is. Lots of rumors on there that, you know, he's a lot older than he looks online.
Yeah.
So he's in the pool, and he's scrubbing himself. Of course, he has no clothes, no weapons, and she notices the lightsaber.
Lightsaber, yeah.
Picks up the lightsaber, and he senses her presence. through the Force and asks her, how does it feel? You know, the lightsaber in her hand. Because she hasn't really held a lightsaber.
I'm pretty sure he felt her wandering around before he even got to, he knew she was, he was being followed to the pool.
I agree. I think he did too. I think he knew the whole time that she was following him.
Because he was raising his eyebrows.
Yeah. Osha adopts a combat stance. She's like got the lightsaber in a combat stance.
She's a poser.
And the orders the stranger not to move. Don't move. I'm going to get you. Can't do much. He's naked.
Yeah.
The stranger flatters Osha about her lightsaber handling techniques and asks if she left her lightsaber behind when she left the Jedi Order.
She couldn't kill me being naked.
Yeah. The stranger gives her a choice of not joining him, or of joining him, or you know, letting him put his clothes on. Osha wields the lightsaber in combat stance as the stranger climbs out of the pool and shows his junk.
Was he trying to get some? Was he trying to use his lightsaber?
He's trying to show how manly he is. His own lightsaber, right? This is my built-in lightsaber. He invites her to consider the ethics of killing him since he's unarmed. You know, that's
he goes, I can feel your anger. And yeah. Anger is the power of the dark side.
Betrays your thoughts, is what he says.
Okay.
I mean, you're right, but he betrays her thoughts. And he dresses, and Osha asks why he brought her to the island. When Osha asks if she is a prisoner, the stranger counters that he... She's the one that's wielding the lightsaber. He says, you're not a prisoner. You got the lightsaber.
It's a good answer.
When she asks if he killed Saul, the stranger says no. When Osha asks if he killed May, the stranger deduces that Saul was more important than a teacher to Osha, because she asked about him first. She didn't ask about Osha or May first.
I can't remember that when he was fighting and had the helmet on, did he give a Sith name?
No. He said that I'm a Sith, but I have no name, is basically what he said. I think actually he does have a name, which we'll find out later. Maybe he just doesn't want to relate to the name that he has or something.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Because he has all this. I think he's perplexed and he has some issues he needs to get done with Saul.
I agree. And remember, we only have two episodes left.
Oh, I thought they're like three.
No, this was the one. This is the third to the end. So, and they're not on the same day. They're going to separate them. So there's not a two episode ending.
I guess.
All right. So we jump back to Kofar, and the Jedi transport docks in the hyperspace ring. Sol enters the cockpit and hugs May, believing her to be Osha still. Which maybe when he hugged her, that's maybe when he felt the difference. I don't know.
Wasn't the right, yeah.
So Saul thanks Osha for saving him and says that the stranger corrupted her sister. Saul says he challenged him and vows to make things right by telling the Jedi Council everything. Everything. And he kind of hints that there's more to what happened when on the planet, her planet, when her sister started the fire. Anyway,
I'd like to know that too.
I do. Yeah, exactly. May asks about everything just as the holo projector activates. A Jedi tells the crew of the starship that they're ready to transmit. Just then, the ship experiences a power failure. At Sol's request, May agrees to try to restart the ship's systems.
All she has, and all she has is the little thing, the little part.
Right.
She hasn't got, he had to go through the container to find a square.
Exactly.
The bottom.
Exactly. So meanwhile, at the Jedi Temple on Coruscant, Padawan tells Master, or no, she's talking to a senator. Isawad Chip on the holo projector, she's talking to a senator. The senator of Ravencourt has gathered enough support for an internal review of the Jedi Order. They want to, you know, they think Jedi Order is overstepping. Yeah, they think the Jedi are overstepping already, and it's, you know, 130 years before the purge.
Yeah.
He warns that his colleagues will vote in favor of an external review of the order. Roe is concerned about Ravencourt's campaign of fear against the Jedi, and reassures Roe the review will probably come out in favor of the Jedi since they have always been transparent with the Galactic Senate, which we know she's hiding stuff.
Yeah. From.
Yeah. Describes Ravencourt as an ambitious senator grasping for power. After terminating the projector Mog, he's got the Padawan braids and everything,
mm-hmm.
tells her that the Jedi have received a distress call from Master Sol in the Outer Rim territories. Why would he be out there? He says, what's going on?
It's where everything happens.
And Andia, which is Mog, tells Ro that Sol appears to have lost his entire team. And Ro tells Mog to resume communications with Sol, but the younger Jedi says that they've lost complete contact. Ro orders Mog to prepare a rescue team to travel to Kofar immediately. When Mog asks how she knows where Sol is, she says, I sent him there. Dun, dun, dun.
So the bald lady with the arrows, diamonds on her head.
Yep.
She seems to be against it.
Give Sol?
Yeah.
Maybe. We'll see. She's kind of her supervisor, too, you know. They always, supervisors are always skeptical of stuff.
Sometimes. Okay.
Well, at least Jedis are. Okay, so we're back on the unknown planet.
Mm-hmm.
And walking on the beach, Osha questions the stranger, who confirms that he was a Jedi in the past. He said a long time ago. When Osha said that she has never heard of him.
Far, far away.
Yeah. She says she's never heard of him. And the stranger replies it was a long time ago. Osha asks why the stranger brought her here. And the stranger throws the question back at her and remarks that everyone seems to be interested in her. Why is that? Osha warns that Master Sol will be looking for her,
mm-hmm.
and he is strong with the Force. Arr.
That one's strong with the Force.
But the stranger disagrees and says Sol's strength lies in the Force and counters that her strength is in the Force also.
Mm-hmm.
He says that someone ought to teach her to harness her strength in the Force. Pointing at the starlights, the stranger suggests she swim to the vessel before it gets dark. If she wants to reach it before sundown, and she would, or she could wait for the tide to come in. He continues to walk back in and asks if she's hungry. Would you like some of that stew I got bubbling in there? Osha turns her neck to stare at the starship before she continues her walk. She debates it for a minute.
Yeah, she had a long time. It seemed like a long time she stood there.
Yeah, she's like, what?
Well, look back and then look.
Well, he told me I could.
Yeah,
you know?
But.
Anyway, meanwhile, May enters the engine room. You know, we're back on Sol's ship.
Yeah.
May enters the engine room aboard the Jedi transport. She looks clueless at the jumbled array of controls, because she's not Osha, right?
Nope.
And the cooling fans. She finds Pip is charging, and Basil approaches, and he does some sort of wah-hoo-wee-yah! And then he runs and jumps at her leg, right?
Oh, ah, panda, oh.
He makes it look like he knows all the stuff. He stomps.
He knows that. He
stomps on her foot and runs at her with a flashlight. I think Pip makes some grease squirt up from one of the engine valves or something. It squirts in her face and she squeals. She goes, ah! It probably didn't burn. She's like, you know, mad or whatever. I don't know. Why shouldn't she use the Force? Anyway, May resets Pip to factory settings because, you know, he pissed her off. Pip said she finds the part, you know, the attachment part that you were talking about,
mm-hmm.
the bottom part. She looks through like three or four different little things or whatever.
Yeah.
Finally finds it that fits. And then she tells the droid to check the power systems and tell her what's wrong because she has no idea. right? Of course, we jump back to the unknown world planet. Osha is following a stranger back into the cave, and she asks what he did when she referred to her being her strength being in the Force. The stranger says he means exactly what he said. So we're supposed to, you know, it's a riddle or
a riddle.
Osha recalls that the Jedi teachings that strength is in the Force is something that requires constant training or else it fades. Which, you know, that's why she feels she doesn't have any power. The stranger responds, that's what the Jedi teach you, but there's other ways. You know, ways that they don't approve of, that the Sith use. And
like the mind melt or... Well, I'm sorry.
That's Star Trek.
I know, but still they do the same thing.
Sort of, yeah. But they do with their hand all over.
Yeah.
Or they do a weird thing. If the Force Willers do not do or do not, their strength doesn't fade. The stranger stirs the pot on the
does he say that their strength is not fade?
Yep. He says there's other ways to access it that don't fade, basically.
Okay.
The stranger tells Osha there's another way to use the Force. Below the surface of consciousness are powerful emotions such as anger, fear, loss, desire, love, baby. Love. Osha responds that this is the path to the dark side. You're bad. But the stranger puts a piece of food in his mouth and replies, that's semantics.
If I had to be good, I'd rather be bad.
Yeah. Semantics. When Osha confronts him for murdering her friends, the stranger admits to killing the Jedi for threatening his existence. I had to kill him because I saw my face. When Osha adds that she killed Yord, and the stranger reminds her that Yord did not hesitate to turn her in for her crime she did not commit. So Yord, he's telling her that Yord was bad against her. Whatever. When Osha adds that he also killed Jeki, the stranger says that the fight was inevitable. Jeki was a pretty good fight too. He was the one that had the two lightsabers
for mm-hmm.
until he had his two and jing, killed her.
like Swiss cheese or
exactly. The stranger says Osha had the same relationship with Jeki that she had with Master Sol, which I don't know, they're maybe romantic a little bit, huh? Ooh, chicka wow wow. She describes it as one-sided, meaning that Sol didn't feel that way. She, even though she did, I think Jeki felt that way. Jeki was like, "Ooh, let's go. When you come back, look me up. We'll go kiss somebody." The stranger asks Osha why she loves people who can only go so far. He offers Osha a bowl of soup. The stranger says that Osha has more potential than the Jedi realize. Osha says that she is not her sister, and that she is not easy to corrupt. She exits the cave to the rock outcropping and stares at the sea. Stranger follows her and reminds her that she is still holding his lightsaber. He says that she stayed out here to do something, and the stranger dares her to stab him with the lightsaber. He puts it right up to his chest. The Osha says that the Jedi do not attack unarmed, and the stranger grabs her and asks why she thinks herself a Jedi despite them rejecting her. Osha counters that she was willing and left on her own, and the stranger questions her motives. Osha demands that she let him go. The stranger says she's feeling pain and anger, which define her identity and lead to the dark side. The stranger says that is why the Jedi threw her away. Her dark tendencies are stronger than her light ones, I guess. When Osha disagrees, the stranger asks why she is not a Jedi still. She shouts that she failed and ignites the stranger's lightsaber. But it's over here instead of up against his chest. Go ahead.
But May is in tune, isn't she? You think she's in
bit,
tune, and it's anger, so it's dark.
Yeah, she is, and I think she's just not. She understands it, but she doesn't have the focus yet. I think May doesn't.
But together, I think they would make a good pair of inquisitors.
That would be a good one, yeah. I mean, I've talked about this before, but there's a thing called a force dyad that the Sith believe in.
Okay.
And that's a pair, and that's technically what the rule of two is supposed to be for. There's only two of them,
mm-hmm.
but the idea is to form a dyad, which means they're in sync together. So they can combine
powers.
Their powers together, and that never happens.
Well, that's just like the what going way back to what their mom
right
was teaching them about how
right.
for the
power of one and all that
for
stuff.
That they should use the force together.
All are together. One is it as one or something. Whatever they were chanting that. All the witches were chanting that and stuff. And that's if you read some of this stuff. Which I know most people don't. If you read some of this stuff, that's what Palpatine was trying to do with Darth Vader and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Darth Vader, of course, turned on him. But
he was hit, even with Darth Vader. Oh no, here comes Luke, or here comes blah blah, who's stronger than Darth? Killed Darth.
That's because
absorbed his power, or take his place, or whatever.
Yeah. If you remember in the movies, there was Windu and Yoda were sitting together, and they were kind of meditating to see the future kind of thing. The light side can do that, but the dark side is better at it. That's why Palpatine was able to orchestrate everything he could orchestrate, because he could tell the future too.
Okay.
And he knew that Darth was going to betray him.
Why
Darth Vader was going to betray him.
Yeah, I don't see why, everybody says, oh, the dark side's bad. But if they didn't have all that extra power.
Well, they usually go about it evil ways to accomplish it. Because they don't see a problem with killing him. Jedi, no, we don't do that. Because we have to. Or stealing or whatever. So that's the thing about... The Sith is they're more about power. The more power they have, and it doesn't matter. It could be money. It could be whatever. If they have to steal it.
Information.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Strangers lightsaber. She uses the blade to trap him against the rock face. She blocks him up there, and it's like right at his neck. I always wonder how they. No, don't accidentally.
Was it on?
Yeah, it was on.
Okay.
She turned it.
So the second time it was on.
Yeah.
The first time it was just not on.
Correct. The stranger says that he understands and explains that he lost everything, but adds that's when one becomes truly free. After losing everything. After staring at the stranger's face, Osher withdraws the blade and switches it off. Because maybe it makes sense. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we go back to Coruscant. And Ben Astra, or Ro, arrives at the spaceport in a field dress where she meets up with Mog and the other Jedi, including Sel'Kath. Mog asks why he hasn't heard that Master Sol and his team were, out on the Outer Rim. And she tells him that they're departing in 20 minutes. She just kind of ignores him and says, get your ass ready and stop asking.
We gotta go.
Stop asking questions, you stupid Padawan. Ro counters that she does not.
Too many questions.
She does not get sick, but finds it unsettling. Because he talks about her being nauseous in hyperspace. Mog suggests that Sol's team.
Drama me?
Yeah, that's what we give Buddy when we go on a trip. He suggests that Sol's team's casualties are due to the planet's environment. And Ro reassures him that he does not need to take it personally, and says that she hopes it's all right with him. As the group approach a parked starship, I don't know, that didn't all make sense. Back on the planet, back and forth we go. Oh no, we're back on Sol's ship. Basil moves through the access conduits with his torchlight in the floors above, and May notices the light shining through the floor grates. Master Sol calls for her, and she turns around. He calls her Maya.
Osha.
Says, Osha, come here. And she follows him into the bunk quarters. Ooh, chicka wow wow. May tells Sol that she ran a diagnostic on the ship, and that she will have to restart, or she will restart the systems, which she estimates will take 5 minutes. Sol meditates. He regrets sensing the stranger's true intentions and not killing him on Oleg when they first met at the apothecary place. May says that desires can cloud a person's mind and make you only see what you want to see. And May says that the stranger fooled them all. Sol notices that Osha found her pip droid, which beeps in binary. Sol notices that Osha has a loving relationship with Pip, even though he's a machine. He rises from his bunk, and May says that she has always been like that, ever since she was little. And Sol agrees. I agree. Pretending to be Osha. May says that she had to lose a lot herself in order to become a Jedi.
Well, that sets it off right there.
That's probably the actual real point, but
I thought she was talking in second person,
maybe,
because she really doesn't know what May or Osha went through.
Yeah,
so she was pretending. When she was more or less talking in second person because she could not know how to feel.
Well, yes, and I think also she had to do the same thing before she, you know, got her dark side stuff. She had to, you know,
because
they basically, the Sith basically break you. I mean, you saw what they did with what's his name, the red guy.
Yeah.
Anyway. May says that she had to lose a lot, and Sol apologizes, prompting May to say how could she feel any other way, and Sol sighs. May asks if Sol has told her everything that happened on Brindock. He replies that she was very young and probably doesn't remember it all. May replies that she is not very young anymore, and asks him to tell her the full story. At that moment, the ship's lights and systems reboot, and Sol lowers his head towards May and walks away and heads to the ship's cockpit. May speaks to the comms and asks if anyone can hear her. Master Ro responds to the comms. Before May can continue, Sol stuns her with a blaster. It's that circle up. And he is followed by Basil. So maybe Basil told him not.
I thought he hugged her and stunned her.
No, that was he hugged her before.
Okay.
She's trying to do the comms and he comes up behind her. Okay. Sol recognizes May as an imposter and is posing as her sister Osha. Master Ro tells Sol that help is on the way and tells him to leave his transponder on, which he promptly turns off and turns off the comms and immediately goes into hyperdrive.
Shoo.
With the flashing.
But where? Where is he going?
Who knows? He causes the Jedi transport to jump into hyperspace. Maybe he has an idea where the guy's hiding out, because that's how he knows him. I don't know.
If he could differentiate the force between May and Osha.
Could be. Maybe he can tell where she's at from her.
You know, like,
yeah.
Forcing different people. It's like a fingerprint. Each person's force is like a fingerprint.
Yeah, and I honestly, I think that force ability is rare. Because remember, it was Empire Strikes Back or whatever. Leia knows where Luke's at when he's hanging from the thing. She says, I know where he is. I'll tell you. You know, whatever. And they end up rescuing him from the...
Well, would that be a dyad? Were they a dyad? Luke and Leia.
We don't know, really, because they never explored it. But you could assume, maybe, yeah. Moments later, a silver Jedi starship with red marking exits hyperspace and descends to the Kofar atmosphere. After speaking to the locals, Mog informs Ventresta Roe that the Umbra Moth colony hatched last night and terrorized the local settlement. She speculates that the Jedi had been near the colony, and that could explain the large number of casualties incurred by Sol's team. Roe accepts this theory. Ventresta accepts the theory. The Jedi trek down the hill to check it out anyway. And we go back to the cave. Osha has a bowl of soup while the stranger repairs his damaged helmet with a, it looks like a torch, but it says here electrical tool. He's like, bzz, bzz, stuttering it, right? When Osha asks if he made the same pitch to May, the stranger admits that he made the mistake of thinking that she wanted more than just revenge. He says that he thought May wanted what he wanted. You know, power, I guess. Prompting Osha to probe further, the stranger explains that he wanted a power of two. So he wanted an apprentice or whatever, an acolyte. She didn't really want to do that. She just wanted power for revenge. When Osha asks about how he got the scar on his back, the stranger says it was caused by someone who threw him away. Osha asks if that was his Jedi master who was responsible. And the stranger changes the topic. Explains that his helmet was made by Cordis.
Well, it looks like everybody's got thrown away in this in this show.
Right, exactly. He talks about his helmet and Cordis. And both Cordis is both lightsaber resistant and ideal for serving as a material of sensory deprivation in a headpiece. When Osha asks if the Cordis blocks out all their senses, the stranger confirms that this is the case, saying that it allows one to be closer to the Force without distraction. You can't see, you can't hear, you can't, I don't know, feel or whatever all those senses are. You can't smell. He encourages her to try it on. Trust him. Try it on. Stranger walks away with his box of tools, leading Osha to gaze at the headpiece on the table. Meanwhile,
is this when she picks it up and puts it on?
Here in a minute, she will. It's the last scene of the thing. We're almost there. So she does, and we'll talk about it quite a bit. Meanwhile, back on the Kofar planet, Master Ventra and her landing party reach the Wookiee's shelter, and she sees all the other Jedi, you know,
dead,
and they show
the master.
Yeah, that's when they show Jeki and Yord and all that, and they find out that they were all killed by lightsabers and not Umbra Moths, which they originally thought. And Mog reports there's no sign of Osha or May, and speculates that they must be at large. Mog believes that the opponent was a Jedi fighter, was capable of generating an explosion and taking several Jedi out. He described their opponent's power as extraordinary, but his skills are erratic. Mog says that their opponent's sole aim was to leave no survivors. It's true. And that's something else. So that's part of the reason why Jedi are so good at fighting with lightsabers, is because they have certain patterns that they use to fight with. You know, like in karate, there's certain things that you can do. That's all they have, and that's why it's easy to predict your opponent and be able to, not get killed. But with Sith, they don't follow those. They just do whatever. So
They do, but they become Bruce Lee.
right, they just kind of make up their own, or they have their own style and everything.
And since they might have went through Jedi training, they already know the pattern, and they can easily take out and not get into the pattern fighting.
Right, and if your master is good, he teaches you the Jedi patterns too, so you can, like you said, recognize them and all that. And then suddenly, one of the Umbra Moths dives at them, but Ro uses her lightsaber whip
That was cool.
and kills the creature by slicing it in half. And that's I want to say that is the first time we've seen a lightsaber whip. They've been in the books. I haven't read a book that had one, but I know about it. And that's the first time we've seen one that is now canon, because it's,
And so
right. First time we've ever seen that. Lightsaber whip slicing it in half. She notices that they were all killed by lightsaber, and Mog tells, squirms that the powerful Jedi have fallen, and Mog asks if she thinks that Master Solo is responsible. Did Master Solo rogue? Which is weird, because why would they think that? Why would is he done something like that before?
Long, huh?
Well,
How are we
that's
going to get the answers?
yeah,
That
we
there are
need.
only two episodes left. That's a lot of back in 2 episodes.
Well, there's probably going to be a season two too, what I
Oh,
heard. Well, maybe a three, I don't know.
there
I've
you
heard that the season two is going to be a totally different story though, so this has to get resolved.
Yes.
Okay, so Ro describes the, or she discounts the extraordinary accusation that Mog said it was Sol, and asks, who else has the power to slay as many Jedi? When Ro remarks, this is something on the t that's going to tip the scales, and Mog asks why Sol would send them a distress signal. And Ro says it's time to get back to the ship, and they can, so they can prepare the bodies for burial. Meanwhile, on Sol's ship, Mei awakes and finds herself in restraints in the medical bay, which, that was the same place as the sleeping area, right? She finds Sol sitting in a lounge chair, and Sol tells Mei that they. He has no intentions of harming her. He tells her that they need to find her master and save Osha. But first, he says the two of them will need to talk. Have a deep, deep, long talk.
We need to talk.
And he mentions basically about everything. What happened and all that. Sol says that he has spent the last 16 years thinking about what he would say to her. And if he had the opportunity to meet her, Sol tells Mei that she is going to listen, because she wants to know too. Remember, she asked him already. And then we go back to the unknown planet, and Osha approaches the Cordis helmet. She touches the scars and welding marks that he has done on the helmet, and notices a big vein of Cordis up along the wall there, which you noticed too, right? So that's where he got it to make his helmet. And maybe that's why he's there, because he knew where there was some Cordis at.
And maybe he's making more than just a helmet.
Yeah, well, he had one in his arm too, just the one arm, because this one was not, because that was the one he was showing his muscles off. But he hit a couple lightsabers with his arm too. But which, like I said, is an interesting fighting technique to headbutt the lightsabers and hit them with your arm to knock them out. So she notices the vein of Cordis. After studying the helmet, she slowly puts the helmet on and begins to breathe deeply and starts to sound like Darth Vader.
She starts hearing voices.
She sees a little tiny light slit where the eyes are, and then it slowly fades out. And it goes to black, and then we see credits roll. So she kind of she's focused okay. and tunes out all the stuff. So she's embraced the idea, basically. All right, so that's our episode. Yay, yay episode. All right, so we've got the email address feedback at kylebranson.us. Got the link on the left hand side, one of those sides of the pod or the website. You can find us on X/Twitter at super duper pod, super_duper_pod. We're on Blue Sky Rebel Alliance Briefing Room, all one word. And you can find us on YouTube and Spotify and many other places. Deezer, all those fun places. All right, so what did you think, Scott?
It was good. I mean, it's going to be interesting if they could stand each other if they get back, you know, with these two episodes.
I'm curious if
from the beginning, I don't understand May's anger. Is it just because she didn't want to be a witch? Or because she wanted
the other way around. OSHA didn't want to be the witch. OSHA didn't want to be, but you're right. So May is mad because OSHA didn't want to be a witch with her. Because her sister, they've always been together.
Yeah.
And basically, to be a Jedi, she had to split apart. Because May didn't want to be a Jedi. Anyway, yes. So I'm curious, you know, from what we saw in this episode, if OSHA asks the stranger to teach her some lessons or, you know, show her the path to the dark side.
I want to know why that since why May wiped out the whole race.
Yeah. And that it, we might find out that that's a memory that they gave him and it's not really what happened. I'm just wondering because why would he have so much to tell her?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to free my burden or whatever.
Yeah.
And we saw the one guy that was, you know, hovering or whatever, that one,
mm-hmm.
he basically was wanting to kill himself because of what he did, because he was part of that thing. And
maybe it was
the Wookiee isolated himself.
Maybe it was a Jedi that
I think they caused something to cause a fire and kill them all. And they're all regretting it and like, oh, we committed such a crime. We're going to have to cover it up. And, you know, Venestra is all about covering up stuff so that the Jedi don't get in trouble. So maybe she's involved, you know. Who knows? Yeah, we don't know. Like I said, Rick's fishing. He hasn't really sent us any information. I don't even know if he's watched the episode because he left on the 1st, which was before the episode aired. So unless he's gone to the village to...
came back to civilization
to resupply or something.
Yeah,
he hasn't seen it. He does say he has it on his phone. Cool. So anyway, everybody can see. You know, we're here in a wooded cabin here. We're out in the middle of nowhere in Pineville, Missouri. Trying to
near outside our window.
Yeah, trying to you know, not kill each other while we're at it. But we would really love it if you could send us feedback. Tell us what you think. Give us your opinion. Say, what the hell are you guys doing in Pineville? I live there. Whatever. Tell us all that. You know, we talk about this place, but it's got a Roku box and mm-hmm. all these different apps that sign in on it. So I went in, you know, just in case you're listening and you're the guy that I signed you up for. I signed you up for about 15 or 20 of our episodes to watch on your Spotify. I did it for someone else on a different one. YouTube, the guy on YouTube, maybe. I made him favorite us or something and flagged a bunch of episodes. So that was me. Sorry. You know, you can be mad at me if you want. How about you send me some feedback about it?
Hey, even if it's like, what the are you doing?
Yeah. Whatever you want. We want
watch him. Watch him.
Yeah, watch the...
And hey, watch the Acolyte. Then watch us.
Hopefully they're already watching the Acolyte, right?
And split the screen.
Do it both, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's possible, but...
I pretty much read scene by scene on all the episodes. Which drives Scott crazy, but...
It does.
So, and I do it mostly to remind myself and us what we're talking about, is that even though I kind of go through it fast, I really do want Scott and everybody to respond to what I'm saying so we can talk about it. I just have a fear of empty space, so I don't...
Control.
No. I just have a fear of empty space, so I don't want to hear silence. So, anything else you got, Scott?
A
prediction?
A prediction? God, there could be so many.
Yeah, there's only two episodes left, so...
Whether the Jedi wins them over and they go Jedi, or whether the other entity, the unnamed, wins them over and they both go that way.
Yeah, who knows?
I want them to be together, so I don't want them to split again. You know, so.
Yeah, I wonder if.
Which is the worst of the two?
I wonder if they. I would assume that eventually the two of them get, you know, in the same room together, because that would be a logical ending of the episode show or whatever. And they join forces and defeat the Sith guy and Solo, or everybody at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Not all the Jedi, of course, but, you know, they defeat everybody that's trying to, you know, capture them and go off and do something on their own, cause havoc and start the,
a sister.
Yeah, a new sisterhood. Maybe there are the witches that we see in the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
You know, who knows? Anyway, that's all we got. Shall we just do the outro?
Yes, look at that.
Did pretty good. It's only 1:30. It's pretty good.
Thank you for listening to the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room Podcast. Please visit our website where you can play current and past episodes. That's https://rabrkylejohansson.us. That's rabr.kylejohansson.us. On the left-hand side is a navigation menu. You can use this to learn how to load the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room podcast on your Android or Apple phone and tablet. And we have direct links to our podcast on Apple and Google Podcast. Please participate by connecting to our social media, answering questions of the week, or submitting feedback directly from the site. Again, all of these are available at the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room website at rabr.kylejohansson.us. This podcast in no way is approved, sponsored, or owned by Lucasfilms Ltd., Disney, Disney Plus, or any of its subsidiaries. All opinions are solely owned by Kyle and or Scott, and in no way express the views or opinions of their past or present employers. Views and opinions are not supported or restricted by Lucasfilms, LTD, Disney, Disney Plus, or any of its subsidiaries. Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or any or other use of this podcast and its affiliate sites without consent of Super Duper Podcast Network and its host is prohibited. Hi, I'm Kyle John Johansson, and this is Andrew Scott. Say goodbye now.
Goodbye. Say bye, Scott.
Au revoir.
All right. We'll see you guys later.
Bye-bye.